All right, brethren, Psalm 23. This world is so full of trouble. We face a lot of trouble in this world. And all of the trouble is caused by sin. Our tears, our trials, our personal coming short of God's glory, death, everything's caused by sin. All the trouble we face in this world is caused by sin. And we have to go through much tribulation. And so the Lord tells his preacher, he says, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem, as to the church. Speak comfortably to her. Tell her that her warfare is accomplished. Remind her what she knows. Her warfare is accomplished. She received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And I like trying to find a message of comfort when I am studying, because I need comfort. When you study and pray for a message and then you get up and preach, God comforts my heart. And I want to try to bring a message of comfort for you. I want you to be comforted, because I realize we need to be comforted of the Lord. We need that. Why is it that we come into these troubles, and in our own selves we're brought low, and some trouble in this world brings us low? Why is that? God is just not going to let his child be full of pride. He's going to keep you weak. He's going to keep you low. But that's love. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. If you endure chastening, God's dealing with you as with a son. What's he teaching me? My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So read verse 1 here, Psalm 23:1, and think about this statement. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Our subject is our all-providing shepherd. And that's who he is. He's our all-providing shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. The Lord. He's the shepherd who provides all for his sheep. Think of this, sovereign God, that's Lord, Jehovah, the Almighty God, the sovereign God, the God who made all things, who upholds all things, who directs and brings all things to pass, the God who's working everything together for the good of his people. He's your shepherd, believer. He's your shepherd. Just like a shepherd out there in the field, and he's got all his flock of sheep. They don't trade places. The sheep don't start telling the shepherd what to do and taking care of the shepherd. The shepherd is constantly taking care of those sheep. He's providing for those sheep. And that's what our Lord is. Our God, our sovereign Savior, is our shepherd. He's our shepherd. You know, we become overwhelmed at times. We get these anxious thoughts, and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And we start worrying about it. We start thinking about it, and we go through 1,000 different scenarios of what could happen and what might happen. And we just get ourselves just weighted down in this anxiousness and just trouble. He says, our shepherd said, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? What's going to happen tomorrow? He said, don't take a thought about that. We qualify that. We say, well, he meant don't take any anxious thought for it. No, he said don't take any thought for it. Why? For these are the things that the Gentiles seek. The world seeks those things. That's all that's on their mind. He says, your heavenly Father knoweth. He knows what you need. He knows what you have need of. He knows what you need better than you know what you need. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. He's saying, instead of having our mind on all these things that could happen and might happen, what if and all that, think on Christ. Have him preeminent in all our thoughts, all the time, constantly. And his righteousness. Think on his righteousness, how he's made you righteous, how he is your righteousness, and how all that he's doing for you in this world is righteous. It's right. It's what you need. Have that preeminent in our minds and our thoughts all the time. Christ in his righteousness. The Lord, our shepherd. And he said, and he'll give you these other things that you need. He'll provide those other things you need. They'll take care of themselves. He'll take care of those things. And he tells us right here, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my sovereign God, my sovereign Father, my sovereign Savior. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. You shall not want. You're not going to do without anything. He's the one shepherd we have. You know we only have one. Listen to Ezekiel 34:23. You know, David's a type of the Lord our shepherd. And God said, I'll set up one shepherd over them, which shall feed them, even my servant David. David was a picture of Christ in this. Christ is the one shepherd. David died, but our one shepherd's still living forever. I'll set up one shepherd. He shall feed them. He shall be their shepherd. And my servant shall be king over them. They shall all have one shepherd, and they'll walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. He set up in eternity one shepherd over his church, over his people, Christ his Son. And he's our king. He's our sovereign ruler. He's the one providing for us. He's the one that's making us continue to walk by faith in love, doing as he commands. He's the one. He does this in all with, you know, you just imagine if you see a field full of sheep, there's a flock of sheep there, and you got one sheep over here that's wandering off and not doing like he's supposed to. He's off away from the other sheep, whatever. Have you ever seen other sheep go out and try to corral another sheep and bring that sheep back, make him get back in the fold? That ain't their business, and they're too dumb to do it. So are we. But we got one shepherd, and that shepherd will bring that sheep back. You believe Christ can work that effectually in your heart? You know he can. If you're a believer, you know he can because you know what he saved you from. But why can't we believe he can do that in our brother? How'd he do it in you? He did it through the message that declares he does it. He did it through the message that glorified him and his works. And that's what he tells you and me to use, and he'll use that to bring your brother back. And we don't do that, do we? We claim we don't believe law. We claim we don't think we're saved by law. But you let a brother slip, and we start going to him with the law. What's that mean? That means judging him for doing wrong. That means telling him you should have done this, you should have done the other. How about declaring how Christ did that, how Christ perfected his people by doing it, how he's all our righteousness in doing it, and then gently talking to the brother and saying, hey, doesn't that make you want to do right? Doesn't that make you want to follow Christ? You see, that's what he's going. You know, when I preach, I have, I guess it's a formula. I don't know, but it's just how I preach. If I'm looking at something practical in the scripture, I'm going to first tell you how you can't do it. You can't be righteous by it because you can't do it in perfection. Then I'm going to tell you how Christ did it in perfection, and he's all your righteousness in it. And then I'm going to tell you, now you do it. Not that you're going to do it right and do it perfect, but when you hear how Christ did it for you, that constrains you in your heart to want to do it. Well, why don't we use that with our brethren when they slip and fall? We become free will works religionists like that, don't we? You can't do that! Oh, when did you become Christ and start being the judge? You see, when we do that, you know what we've done? We've gone way past whatever our brother has done into the slop and the mire and filth. Because we've tried to knock Christ off his throne. We've tried to become the shepherd. We're just a dumb sheep. That's all we are. But we got one shepherd, and he's a faithful shepherd. And you know this, brethren, God set him up from everlasting. And that means before you ever knew you had this shepherd, you had him. When you were walking in sin and didn't know God, didn't want to know God, and couldn't know God, who would have ever thought you'd be brought to sit right where you're sitting now, believing Christ? Who did that? Your shepherd did it. 2,000 years ago, he said, he was looking at that fold in Israel, and he said, and I have other sheep that aren't in this fold. They're in a Gentile fold, and I must bring them. You know what that means, believer? That means 2,000 years ago, when your shepherd said that, he was talking about you. I have other sheep that aren't Jews. I have some sheep that are Gentiles, and I'm going to bring them. I must bring them. He was talking about you and me. He's been our shepherd a long time before we knew him. When we hated him and didn't want to know him. My point is, if he was able to bring you into the fold, he'll be able to give you everything you need so that you won't lack anything and keep you in the fold, won't he? Old Belshazzar, he didn't have this shepherd. And the Lord wrote on the wall and he said, you've been measured in the balances and you've come up wanting. But our shepherd here is telling us, you're not ever going to be found wanting. Never. Never. He's our full provision of everything we need. In him are all things, and you're complete in him. He's the good shepherd. Look over at John 10. He's the everlasting shepherd. He's the good shepherd. John 10, 11. Listen to what he said. Talked about the thief there in verse 10. He says, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Don't that sound good? Now listen to what he said. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The hireling, That false Jesus, that Jesus can't do anything, and his false under-shepherds, they're not the shepherd who's on, the sheep are not. When they see the wolf coming, they leave the sheep, and they flee, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling. He gets paid doing what he does for money. He cares not for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. We couldn't give him anything. He didn't do what he did for gain. We couldn't give him anything. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I'm known of mine. I know my sheep like the Father knows me, and I know the Father. That's how I know my sheep, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this Jewish fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. He made you hear his voice and brought you into this little fold, part of his fold right here, and he keeps you here. He's the good shepherd, isn't he? He's God's shepherd. God said, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that's my fellow. He's God's shepherd, the one God provided. Awake, O sword, smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But then I'll turn my hand upon the little sheep, and I'll bring the sheep back. That's what happened at Calvary's cross. Our Lord Jesus took the place of all his sheep. Our shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. He was made sin for the sheep, made a curse for the sheep, or the wrath of God for the sheep, was separated from God for the sheep. Read Psalm 22 first and hear him crying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And when you get to the end and you see that work finished, that's why the next psalm says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He did it. He made his people righteous. And so he's the good shepherd. He satisfied justice. And you'll never be found wanting in those balances like Belshazzar was. He's provided you a full supply of righteousness. He's the great shepherd. He said in Hebrews 13:20, our Lord Jesus Christ is that great shepherd of the sheep. You've been brought again from the dead through the blood of the everlasting covenant, and he'll make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. God will do this through Jesus Christ, and he'll get all the glory. The great shepherd is a man touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what his sheep need. A good shepherd is going to know what his sheep need. Our shepherd is one with us. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He was when he walked this earth. He was on the cross, and he is now from glory. He knows when you're hurting, he knows it. He knows what it's like. And he knows what you need, and he's sovereign to give it. That's a great shepherd, brethren. And if you're going to walk and you're going to be protected and defended and you're going to do whatever good work he's ordained from the beginning of the world for you to do, he's the one that's going to work that in you. He's going to make you do it. He's the chief shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4 says, when a chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Peter said, you were sheep going astray. You were sheep out here wandering around without a shepherd. But now you're returned unto the shepherd, the bishop of your soul. That word shepherd means pastor. That's what the word means, pastor. He's the pastor who is God. He's the shepherd who is God. And he's the bishop. Same word. You've been returned to the elder. You've been returned to the bishop. You've been returned to the pastor, to the shepherd. And he did it. And he's ruling. He's ruling. He's ruling his under-shepherds. He's ruling the hearts of his preachers. He's ruling. He's correcting them. He's leading them just like he's leading and teaching you through them, through their preaching. Isn't that amazing? So you see, brethren, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now look at this next verse. He's going to make us rest in green pastures and lead us by still waters. He says, verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Kelsey, you're from the country like I am. You ever gone out and just laid down in a field? That's so nice. I love to go out. I would go out, there would be these tall fields with tall grass, and I love to go out there and just lay down in the middle of it. Nobody can see you. You just laying there looking at a clear blue sky. Out in the middle of a field, peaceful, quiet. Just lay there and go to sleep. No noise, just peace. He said he's going to make you lay down in green pastures just like that. That's the fullness of grace. That's all provision. That's Christ. He said, by me you shall find pasture. That's what he just read in John 10. By me you'll find pasture. He's our rest from the law. Brethren, if there's something I could tell you, listen, if you're convicted of your sin and you're troubled and you know you've fallen and stumbled and you've broken God's law and you see it like you just ever before you, the first thing I'd say to you is rest in this. You're not under the law. God's not going to charge you so as to separate you from him. You're righteous in him. That's the beginning of healing. That's the beginning of rest when we're troubled by our sin, is to be reminded He brought you to this green pasture. You're righteous in him. That's the love that's going to break that hard heart. That's the love that's going to break the and subdue the mortify the sinful flesh. That's what's going to make you want to obey him. He laid down his life and he led you to this green pasture. You're righteous in him. No sin will ever be laid against you. That's rest. That's a green field you can lay down in right there. Rest from sin condemning you or ruling over you. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It's not going to condemn you, and your sin of your flesh is not going to reign over you. I wish I could remember this. If one of these sheep in this pasture gets out of line and gets off where it's not supposed to be, I just need to remember the shepherd's not going to let that sheep leave. He's not going to do it. He's going to bring him back into the fold. I need to remember that about my brethren. Why then does it look like my sin is reigning over me? Just so he can subdue your flesh and turn you back into the fold and show you, you ain't the one that's subduing your flesh. You're not the one that's making yourself walk. You're not the one who's doing anything. He's doing it. But by grace, he won't let your sin rule over you. You get that? Rest from anxious care. He said in Ezekiel 34:14, I'll feed them in a good pasture. Upon high mountains of Israel shall their fold be, and they'll lie in a good fold, in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains. He said, I'll search my sheep, I'll seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they've been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. I'll seek them out. He gave that parable of the shepherd going out, finding the lost sheep, putting it on his shoulder, bringing it back to the fold. That's what he's going to do. He's going to keep you lying down in green pasture, folded together in his church, knit together with your heart, with his brethren, with your brethren, with Christ. And he's going to keep you there. Rest, ease, safety. And he leads you beside still waters. Sheep don't like to drink by loud running rapids. Sheep are a scary animal. And believers are more like sheep than sheep. We don't like loud, scary, thundering rapids. But you know what running loud water is? It's shallow water. It's not deep. A lot of rocks in it. That's a false gospel. It's loud, full of rocks to bruise you. It's shallow. And God's sheep they scared of it. Don't have anything to do with it. The gospel is still waters. The gospel is deep water. Deep water. Think about God's sovereign electing grace. Think about God before he made anything, determined the end from the beginning. That's some deep water. Predestinated us into the adoption of children. He predestinated when you're going to be conceived in the womb, when you're going to come out of the womb, when you're going to be crossed with the gospel, when you're going to hear that gospel, all the way through your life to when you're going to die and meet God. It's all predestinated. That's deep water. Righteousness and peace kissing in Christ. Justice being satisfied and at the same time you being spared from the death penalty. How can that happen? That's deep water. That's Christ our shepherd. Preservation. Glorification. All the doctrine of God. It's deep water. And that's where he leads you. He's going to make you hear and rejoice in the deep water. The deep water. He'll feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs with his arm. He'll carry them in his bosom. And he'll gently lead those that are with young. You know what you do with goats? You herd them. You drive them. You know what you do with sheep? You lead them. You lead them. He's gently leading his sheep. He's not whipping them. He's leading them. Leading them. Look here. This is He says he'll feed them and he'll lead them to live in fountains of waters, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. Now listen to this. He does this right now. He wipes away the tears from our eyes by restoring our soul. The things we're talking about him providing, he makes light of the things in this world. These are the things we make and speak of like, if we don't have these, it's just going to end tomorrow. He speaks of those things as being secondary and not necessary. What he's talking about is spiritual things. And when he wipes away the tears from your eyes, he does it by restoring and renewing you inwardly in spirit, teaching you spiritual things. Listen to this, verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. When he first came in that first hour and he found you ruined and undone and dead in sin, and he sent forth the gospel into your heart and quickened a new man, a new baby within you, and filled you with his spirit, he restored your soul. He gave you faith and life and godliness and everything you needed. He restored your soul. You were a dead man. You didn't have any life in you. You were spiritually dead, and he restored your soul. Well, that's what he does throughout this life of faith. We get strong outwardly in our sinful nature. We're going to handle it. We're going to take care of this. Oh, I know exactly what I'm going to do. And we start working and conniving, and all we're doing is our outward man is getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and the inward man of grace that he's made is getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And there's nothing we can do about it. How's that new man going to be restored? He restoreth my soul. He comes and he works this in your heart, and he restores your soul from sorrow by reviving and renewing your spirit inwardly. He leads you. He takes you out of the path of sin. And when you think of the path of sin, it's not always just some immoral thing that we think of as sin. It is that sometimes. But it's also the sin of self-righteousness, of thinking we're right and others are wrong. He's the only one who can take you out of that path of sin. And what he does is he's going to take, he says one day we're going to go to glory, and he says, and we're going to be judged according to our works, whether good or bad, or the good or evil. You know what that means? You picture a scale. He's going to take all your good works, and he's going to put them on one side of the scale. And he's going to take all your evil works, and he's going to put them on the same side of the scale. Because good or evil, they're all the same sin. Whether it's immorality or it's self-righteousness, it's still the same sin. He's going to take his child out of that path and lead you in the path of righteousness. He's the path of righteousness. He's the way. He's the narrow way. He's going to lead you to him and make you rest in him and make you follow him and make you proclaim him and make him be the motive of your heart and the glory for which you're doing what you're doing, and that's when you're in the path of righteousness. He's the only one that can do that. And when he does it, he wipes tears away from your eyes. Oh, the grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, aren't we? Take my heart and seal it for thy courts above. And he does it for his name's sake. You see that? He does it all for his name's sake. Now, you listen to this, believer. He's given us his name. We're Christ. We have his name. Israel was Christ's name. When he called Israel, Israel, it means as a prince, thou hast power with God and hast prevailed. He gave Jacob the name Israel. And when Jacob goes, well, what's your name? He said, why are you asking my name? I just gave you my name. Look in scripture. Israel is Christ's name. And he's given us his name. We're the Israel of God. He's given us his name. And for his name's sake, He's going to turn you out of the path of sin into the path of righteousness. You know what that means? When he says he's doing it for his namesake, he's doing it for his glory. That is the strongest guarantee a sinner can have that Christ will never let you go. Because he's doing it for his glory, for his namesake. He's not going to let his name be polluted. He's not going to say, I'm determined to save you. Oops, I couldn't do it. And everybody corrupt his name and pollute his name and slander his name. Nope. He said, those I'm going to save, I'm going to save them for my namesake. He's going to do it for his namesake. And he'll never let us be separated from him. Never. Look here at verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. This whole world is the valley of the shadow of death. I know when we have loved ones at near death, and we think of that valley of the shadow of death as that right there being at death's door, so to speak. It is. But we've been right there since the day we was born. We've been in that valley since the day we was born. This is the veil of tears. We're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Death is there. But here's the thing about it for a believer. It's just a shadow. It's just a shadow. Brother Greg just read it. He has given us the victory. He's taken away sin. That's the sting of death. That's the poison of death that makes you die. He took away the stinger. He took away our sin. And he gave us life. And we're not going to die. He said, if you believe on Christ, you shall never die. So that means nothing's going to be able to separate me from him. I'm not talking about just physical death. I'm talking about I'll never be cast out into outer darkness and die that second death. That's what I'm worried about. And we'll never be separated from him, because now you have eternal life. And he said, and I'm with you. I'm always with you. And I know it's hard for us to be able to get this, but he's with his people all the time. He told those disciples, he told them he was going to the cross, and they began to be troubled. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That's where he was going, to the cross, to prepare a place for you who are his. He said, and if I go and prepare that place for you, I'm coming again for you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to let you be separated from me. I went to the cross and laid down my life and prepared a place for you. And I did it so that where I am, there may you be also. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to let anything separate you from me. He's with us at all time. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know a shepherd. You picture a shepherd. He got his sheep. And they go out. And the rod, the staff, is the same. It's the same thing. It's a shepherd's crook. And they use that rod to count their sheep. That's how they count their sheep. The rod of Christ is this gospel we preach. This is how he counts his sheep. They use the rod to separate the sheep from the goats. That's what this gospel does. It separates. He uses this gospel to separate the sheep from the goats. And if a sheep gets out too far, he takes the rod and he takes it around the neck and with that crook and he brings it back into the fold. That's what he's doing with this gospel. He's going to use you, brethren. If somebody, you ever heard the story about the fella who quit, who wasn't coming to service, and Spurgeon went to see him and sat down. The guy had a fire burning, and Spurgeon sat down there beside him, and he just reached down there and took a coal out of that fire and pulled it out here by itself and just set it there. And they sat there and talked a little while, and that red hot coal just went darker and darker and darker and smoked until it just went out. And that man looked at that coal over there by itself, not with those other red hot coals. And he got what Mr. Spurgeon was saying. You go off by yourself, you're going to get colder and darker till you burn out. Sheep have to be together, just like red hot coals have to be together. Sheep have to be together. And he's gonna use you to take this gospel and not go scold a brother for being away from the gospel, but to remind him of these good things Christ has done for us. Remind him of, we're hearing some good messages. We're hearing Christ exalted. It's so good. And you know, this was a terrible thing to do, and I think young preachers would do this, but people would come and then they would leave and you wouldn't see them for a long time, and then they show back up. And when they're there, you have a tendency to want to preach about the importance of being there and not missing the service. Really, truly, that's just law. That's just turning to law to try to make something happen. While they're there, you know what the best thing you could do? Preach Christ to them. Because that's how they're going to be made to stay there if they're here. And what I'm saying is, when a brother leaves, you don't go to him and scold him and make him feel guilty. Remind him of what you're hearing and how good it is. And, you know, what's going to make you want to go sit down at a good restaurant and eat? Somebody comes and tells you about how good it is and what's being served. And you say, man, that makes me hungry. I'm going to make reservations there. That's what we're talking about. He does this, and he uses the gospel to do it. Art and I were talking about this Friday night. You could be in a pleasant state. Nothing's going on around you. Everything's positive. And the Lord can give you a spirit of just trouble, and you just be twisted and turned every which way. And you could be in a terrible situation and things being terrible, and that whatever that ache is, Martha's experiencing it right now. Charlotte, Iana, Greg, what that ache of losing a loved one, that's a real thing. It's real. Somebody you love dearly, there's an ache, it's a hollow feeling. You know what I'm talking about. And you can't do anything about that. You can't make that stop. It's just with you. But he can he can turn you to him and heal that just like that. And make you know you're protected and defended and just fill you with comfort. He's with me, and his rod and his staff comfort me. He's going to do this through his word. Go to the word and stay in the word. He can just, you know, I was talking to a pastor this week. He was telling me when he had gone through a real tough trial, and he said he just couldn't sleep at night. He's laying there, and he could not sleep at night. And one of the brethren in the congregation said, well, you know what you ought to do? Just roll over and don't think about it. You just can't do that. And he said, the only thing I could do was, he said, I had a verse of scripture that I would keep talking about, just saying to myself, and when I'd be laying there at night, and I'd think about that verse of scripture and really think about what it meant. And he said, in a little while, the Lord would comfort me enough that I could finally get some rest. That's what we're talking about. His rod, his staff, they comfort us. And he does this for us continually. He says there in verse 5, he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil and our cup runs over. Doesn't he do that, brethren? He's the bread. He's the wine. He's the manna. He's the lamb. He's this feast of fat things, and he's prepared it for us right here in the midst of our enemies, and he keeps giving you this feast. So what do we say to these things? Look at verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He said there at the beginning, he's leading me. He's in front of me leading me. And now he ends up and he says, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Nothing's going to separate me from him. I prepared this message and I changed directions. I completely... I heard about Martha and Charlotte's mom and dad. I wanted something to comfort the Lord's people. And I worked on this yesterday. And last night about 8:30, 9 o'clock, I got finished. And I walked outside and I was thinking about it. And I was thinking, I wish I had an illustration to illustrate this. And the Lord gave me one. I mean, he gave me a good one. I looked up out there in that library parking lot, and when at night you can just see the lights right down the middle of that parking lot. And I looked up, and here comes a big old doe deer. And she walks out, and here comes a little one behind her. Here comes a little one behind that one, a little one behind. And single file, 9 deer walked from those woods right in the middle of that parking lot, right in the middle of the light, and walked right up the parking lot into that neighborhood up there. And there was an old doe in the front, and there was a bunch of new yearlings, and there was an old doe in the back. And they were walking tail to toe. I'm talking single file, tail to toe, with an old doe in the front and an old doe in the back. It looked like an exodus. They were leaving those woods and going up into that community up in there. They had wisdom leading them and wisdom coming up behind them. And that's what we got. We got Christ leading us, and we got Christ coming up the rear. And he's not going to let anything happen to his little sheep, nothing. And he's going to do that all our days, and we'll dwell in his house forever, forever. We're in his house now. We're going to dwell in this house forever. Amen.